welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
Now if Jesus was a sheriff and I were a priest, if my lady was an heiress and my mama was a thief, if Papa rode shotgun on the Fargo line, there's just too many outlaws trying to work the same line. Bam, 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 bam. If I was a man. Woo. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to an episode of Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. So that was... So you guys are going to be listening to this episode. You might be listening to it while I'm in the theaters watching Jeremy Allen White in Springsteen deliver me from nowhere this coming weekend. So I don't know. So that you might be listening to it while I'm listening to him singing like Bruce. And that is Springsteen. That's If I Was a Priest. It's an old song that he redid on a more current record. And it's really cool. So If I Was a Priest. So if you guys have been following us, we have been building this world, and we have like our updated world that you guys have helped us build out here. If you haven't yet, get to us on Facebook and Instagram, get to us at threewisedms.com, reach out to us at threewisedms@gmail.com, and join the conversation, because this is really, really fun. So just to give you a heads up here, so our tagline is, in a world where magic is a memory, the recent discovery of magic technology in the untraversed waste has fueled a gold rush as would-be explorers travel through boom towns hastily constructed by the shadowy conglomerate in search of fame, fortune, and power. The shadowy conglomerate is somewhat still up in the air, we're going to see. But so we've thrown out the idea that we're kind of in this weird west. It's sci-fi, it's D&D, but there's going to be guns, there's going to be weird tech, there's probably going to be, I don't know, trains and some sort of horse.
We need a train robbery.
Something to steal from a coach.
So the first thing we kind of drove down on was how magic works in this world, and we threw out a lot of ideas. You guys came back to us. So in essence, where we are now, magic in this world, which we are calling the Boomtown, thanks to Dave Howard for reaching out and giving us that that idea. It was literally staring us in the face because we just keep calling them, these are like Boomtowns that grow up. And like, that's just a cool idea, like the Boomtown. But magic is acquired in two different ways. Either technology from the past civilization, but it's going to have a decidedly Western theme, obviously. So things like wizards and stuff, like the spell book, will probably be some sort of tech in some way. Or to allow for these inborn magic users, like sorcerers and druids and things, we're thinking about this kind of like weird radiation or something in the waste that is starting to transform people. Okay, so that's in essence, we're not adjusting anything in 5e for the magic as of now, but that's the flavor that we're going with. Last episode, we got into the town, we got into the economy a little bit. You guys were very, very loud that you want us to account in the old D&D fashion. So Tony is going to be very happy with that. So we got gold, silver, copper gems, tech, you know, you're going to be purchasing things, you're going to be gathering treasure, all that. We also kind of threw out an idea that maybe this one actually came from our friend John. John Matu, he was thinking like with like Chris and my idea where we were talking about kind of a standard of living or a resources kind of rank or something. In essence, we might throw in that like to be in the Boomtown, you are purchasing your standard of living per week. And that would be like some sort of like mechanic where you just have to pay the local boss or whoever. We'll see. So tonight, we're going to finally get to what I've been wanting to get to, because I have no idea yet how this is going to work. But how do we answer? We answered for the wizard and the sorcerer and the friggin' druid and the artificer and all this, the bard. What about the cleric? And what about the paladin? What about the divine classes that are pulling their powers from divinity? In the boom towns, how does divine magic work?
Well, I would say that they're looking to discover the lost gods. They're out there. There's perhaps some gods that aren't serious ones. Perhaps there's something else. Maybe they're demons. Maybe they're entities that you could pull power from. But the vibe I'm kind of getting here is, so magic is something new. So whether you're a mage or you're an artificer or you're a divine caster, you need to go out in the waste and get some answers, explore, discover, and recover this almost like a resource as part of like a hook to draw you out into the wastelands and explore this world that we're creating.
Definitely. And I think, too, like we have to decide, is it going to be more monotheistic, right? Sort of like, or, you know, our current world, or something like Tolkien, where everything else was angels, right? There was just like, you know, Eru and stuff like that. Or do we want to go polytheistic, where obviously there are many different cleric subclasses that you would have to answer for that, right? You have like life, grave, and all these different things where they would probably have different people related to it. And then I think leaning into what you were kind of talking about, Tony, is the discovery of the lost gods. Like these are things that are coming out now, but it's, I think, with it being such a future forward world, it could be something like supercomputers, like AIs or something like that. To these people seem like godly things, right? Like if you're looking for a genesis of what they are, maybe what they're out there, and then you're gaining information and power from them. But it's, I like that kind of idea with the way that the world is. But I think first, I mean, we have to, do we want to spend the time to create 12 you know, deities, or do we want to concentrate more on maybe having one or two where it's the traditional battle, and maybe there are divine, like angels and stuff. There are people that intervene, but there are just these gods, so to speak.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for me, that is, Chris, the same way. The first question is this a pantheon? Very D&D-like, right? Like, I mean, all settings have the level of pantheon. You go into the back of the player's handbook or the DMG, and you'll see, well, these are the Norse pantheon, and these are the Faerun pantheon, and these are the Greyhawk pantheon, right? And all these kind of things. And there's something really cool about that, because things like, especially cleric, paladin a little less so, because I think you could answer for a lot of things with that. But for the cleric, you do have those domains, which is very pulled off of this idea that certain gods were over the storms or death or light or life or whatever, right? So that's really the first thing. Like, do we have gods? Do we have a god, Eros, Eru style, right? Or, you know, just the one true god type of thing. And then you had said, Chris, you just threw out the idea, like, is it really that it's just magic is just science that we don't understand? So do we lean more heavily into that and kind of take the first thing I thought of was the author Roger Zelazny and his series, The Lord of Light, or The Lords of Light, something like that. And in essence, it was like the Hindu gods and all this, but they were really just like, really, like it was almost sci-fi, right? They almost had like tech to them. So yeah, I think that's the first question. And this might be something where you guys are going to reach out to us, but gods or god?
Oh, why do we have to pigeonhole ourselves? We could say, and we have to start with a creation story, right? If we're really going to get into our hands in this, you're correct. Every good play setting, it's got some degree of a mythology on how it was created. Now, is that story correct? Well, that's part of the mystery. We're not going to reveal that. Nobody really knows. Perhaps there was a singular creator, and then there was lesser or other gods that were this individual's as a helper. And then perhaps, you know, as the world shifted, they stepped back and they're the old gods. And now new gods have emerged who have a strong position in our world. And perhaps there's a degree of tension and conflict between these religious factions.
You know, that's actually almost exactly the way they set up the Dragonlance world of Kryn. Was in essence, there was the true high god, and then all of these other gods he in essence created. And then they kind of went out because he then pulled himself like behind the veil or whatever the hell it was. Exactly. Yeah. So
And I think too, leading into the sort of supercomputer AI idea is that there maybe the angels, the people that you're, these other gods, right? Like in the Dragonlance world, are the people that have gone and found these things, and now they're coming out and they're spreading the word, right? And they're providing you with the things. They're the ones that you're going to for the domain of life, or light, or something like that. It's someone who's gone out there, interacted with the God, right, to what it would be for it, right, and now comes back and provides that channel to the people. And that's the way you get your pantheon, is people that have interacted with this, and each one has its own experience with it, right, as they start to learn about what, you know, it actually is that's running the world.
So that kind of falls into two things here that I'm thinking. It falls into that idea of, we're talking about this possible radiation, right? Quote unquote. We don't know yet. This is just a plot hole that we have to fill. So help us fill it. But this radiation that is starting to change people. So that radiation is coming from probably like the old tech in some fashion, right? In the wastes. So that radiation obviously changes the people of this planet. So why wouldn't it have changed the past civilization people who now have ascended to a point where they seem like they're the gods of the world, you know? So that is definitely one way we could lean even heavier and not even have to touch maybe like until later on what's behind that maybe.
When you say almost future people, so to speak, is that they would, people that understand the tech would seem like gods to people that did not understand the technology, sort of like that kind of an idea?
In a way, yeah. Like these people in the past were changed. Like this all Wheel of Time style. This all happened before and it will happen again now, right? People are now rediscovering this old tech that holds power. It is beginning to change them. They're also beginning to learn about it. And they're going to level up and become more powerful to the point of, you know, ninth level spells where they now can change the course of the universe, right? So that is definitely one thought, that we kind of lean into the tech in the beginning. But we could also say, too, to answer, like, Tony, to your point, it doesn't have to be necessarily one or the other, because even in our own world, if you look at something like the Hindu religion, people say, oh, it's polytheistic. But really, in the end, what it is they are acknowledging different personifications of this one thing, right, of ultimate reality, and it has personifications depending on how you're interacting, right? So it kind of can still answer for domains and such like that. But I'm a little intrigued by this old tech idea. Tony, what are your thoughts with that, leaning into the tech for the divinity too?
So if we lean into that, what if the original progenitors of the world, perhaps not widely known, but this is something that, you know, let's go behind the curtain, perhaps they were technologically based in a manner, like, you know, primarily, like, they got things done with science. Perhaps there was an AI presence there, and this radiation that's transforming sorcerers, clerics, warlocks is a result of this technology, and perhaps the exchange between prayer and their development of their powers, and it's coming from this ancient source that is undiscovered and really unknown, but to them seems divine.
Throwing out here, just from something you said, Tone, what if in the far, far distant past, right, before this civilization that then rose and fell, and now we're rediscovering it, the ones who, like, started it, let's say maybe to this world, like a colony ship came, right? And it
still working on the colony ship.
Like, that's a throwback. For all you listeners, go back a couple episodes. You join me. Like, fight for the colony ship. Hashtag colony ship.
So all the old gods came on the Ark too?
I don't know.
All the monsters, all the magic.
I just saw an opening for where I could throw in, my, I could shoehorn in my joke. That's all. Yeah. Okay. Continue, please.
No, but I like the way that where Tony is going with it, is that it's think, and also when you were speaking a little bit, David, it made me think it's like different boom towns would view them differently. People coming back would have different experiences. So you'd have, like, you have the Norse pantheon and you have the Greek pantheon, but they're basically right? It's like I'm changing.
They'd all be calling it what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's I'm based upon the culture that it sits. So there is this sort of group of old gods, maybe AI or the thing there. But each of the towns, they have different names for the people, depending on whoever comes back, whoever is the person who's proselytizing about this particular
the prophet,
you
know, right?
Yeah, the prophet that they, this is the God that I serve, right? And stuff like that, that has given me these powers sort of thing.
I mean, that fits like the idea of like literally just like their name is the prophet, right? And they roll in out of the wastes to these boom towns and, you know, the dust kicks up and they start, you know, talking about all this stuff. Yeah, like that fits really much into our like weird West-y kind of thing, right? That's definitely a thought. I think that we can easily, though, but for me, I like this idea right now, and like we're going to throw it out to you guys out there, but I kind of dig this idea where we just lean even more into the tech thing, because what we've been kind of finding, and you guys can back me up with this or not, but what we've been kind of finding is like what I was finding when I was running Dragonlance, right? So this setting that we're making, this Boomtown setting, will have a certain flavor to it, right? And we'll throw in ideas of this is what the Boomtown is kind of like if you're playing in this world. That doesn't mean that you have to do that. You can, as the DM, do what you would like with it, you know? But if, like, for instance, when I was running Kryn, there were certain things that, well, this makes it feel more like Kryn, so it's different. But it doesn't mean it had to be, you know. I still allowed monks and bards and stuff like that, you know. So I think all of this should be kind of prefaced with that too. But I like this idea of leaning into the tech just even more.
So my question is, what is the base non-premium ancient tech operating at? So is that like I'm kind of feeling like the late 1800s, maybe very early 1900s tech? On these borders town, is that where everybody is? Those people who have the access to the things that are out in the waste, like the ordinary people, is that what we're kind of looking at?
I'm not following that exactly. What do you mean, like the tech, like 1800 or 1900s?
The technology of what the ordinary people are operating with. When you're talking about a wizard in tech, is he out there with his iPad?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it would use that idea of like the Old West kind of setting where they would have. There would be horses and carriages. And then as things start to progress and people start to find things, then you'd have other things. You'd have trains or other things in there and stuff like that. But I think the general person, right, is going out to the spigot to get water and doing all the things he normally would. The people coming back, they're coming back with stuff that's crazy to them. And, you know, right, it's like changing them and everything like that. But the average person should be like a, you know, I think it stays in that Western theme. It makes it easy to, like, right, it gives a good consistent feel to what, you know, you can sort of in your head picture when you walk into any boom town, just with the, like a little different, you know. So I think that's a really good angle on it.
No, and I think we're leaning way more into like the D&D overall idea and experience, right? So very kind of like you like you would say medieval, like, but we're shining it with this sci-fi idea, which brings in the Western theme and boom towns and tech and stuff. But it still is very much like they're still using gold and silver and copper and stuff like that. They're still, you know, in the saloon or like the inn in a D&D world. So it still has it's an easy way, I think, to it's like when you're playing like a modern Call of Cthulhu and like, okay, well, I get out my smartphone and I, you know, and you're like, you know, but in the same way, like with a D&D world, you would bring magic items back into town and they'd be like, what the fuck is this? You know, like this dude's firing lightning out of his this blunderbuss, you know.
No, and I think another thing Tony said too is that if I think tech is our hook in the world as far as how things work, it's like the Force, right? For like a Star Wars universe, this is how these things happen. So having the religion angle be somewhat tech oriented at its origin there makes a lot of sense, and it makes it very similar. Like we keep the same kind of thing across the whole world, right? Is that's the hook? Is that this technology? Besides that, they're just like you know, settlers in the 1800s who'd come out to the hard pan, right, with the barest bits of that. They have a donkey with them with their belongings on the back and stuff like that. And it's the tech that makes them a wizard. It's the tech that brings the clerics or the, you know, the prophets in from the wasteland that they'll turn people into clerics into town as they hear the people prophesize about them. And they share like readings or whatever, schematics. They share schematics and algorithms with them that help to, right, that helps them to create these things that seem like magic to everybody else. Algorithms. I'm going to write that down, too.
I love that idea. Yeah, and, like, that's literally, like, you know, like the prophet idea, you know, just rolling in the dust and the hard pan. So with that, I want to kind of open this up, if we can, because we're kind of talking about how, like, the we haven't gotten into it, but there's some sort of Eastern... On the east coast of this place, there's like some sort of shadowy corporation, the conglomerate, something, whatever we're going to finally call this thing that will help to drive like political factions and things like that. And they're the ones that want this tech, and they're you know, creating these boom towns, which, Chris, you had brought up that idea, like the boom town is what is. It's designated by like these corporations, right? It's like Boomtown 47 or something. And then like the towns will become named in a sense by the denizens, and then they'll be creating their own civilization there. But what are our thoughts of like, where does religion fit in this world, right? Is it on the side of the corporations, is it fighting against it? Does it not like tech? Because tech destroyed the world. Because right?
I would think the whatever it is, a corporation, organization, huge city would be almost godless in a sense, right? To them, so this AI that's awakening would be something that's empowering the people in these areas where religion would take hold, right? In the big city, it's difficult, right? In those towns where you're living day to day and everything like that, religion takes hold really strong, right? Like, so you'd get a push from that AI, where it would be like working the back way in to destroy the godless people by inspiring the people on the outskirts there to take up
resistance,
arms, to become more powerful, to become a resistance of itself, right? You know,
that's interesting. Going back a bit, because we covered a lot of ground there. So in this flavor, you know, obviously it's guns over swords preferred genuinely, but there's no reason why you can't use a sword. I mean, I beat Cyberpunk using a katana, so you know, you're not landlocked into that. But as far as like this whole corporation versus the religion goes, I mean, I think that's a low-hanging fruit where you've got the religion who's got perhaps its own ties to magic, but maybe it doesn't endorse all magic, or the corporations, maybe the guys who like have a different angle. Maybe they use, they're more like psychic oriented. Like they should have some kind of clear division and having a bit of friction between the two of them. Like, but they're both grinding for power, right? They're not going to be holding hands. They want to be the predominant forces in creating boom towns, and the church wants their presence. And obviously, you know, that belongs to the corporation, air quotes.
It would almost like the prophets themselves would almost be outlaws, kind of back to your song from the beginning there. Right, is that the corporation wouldn't want anything, like they don't want that. That's hope and like, you know, rebellion and all this
business.
Thing you're fostering stuff that you wouldn't want to if you were in that kind of a state where you're trying to exert power over these boom towns and stuff like that. So it would almost be like they would be sending people into town to find those outlaws, right? There would be a class of police or force that would come into those boom towns on occasion to try to root out any sort of religious uprisings and those kind of things there. It could definitely play heavily into the politics between the small people and then the large sort of faceless corporation that would be driving a lot of the bad things.
Something that started to come out of that as you guys were talking, I'm thinking, so like, I like that we're kind of like leaning into that tech angle for like the divine magic is in essence some sort of something is occurring from the tech, whether it's radiation or whether it's schematics and algorithms, whatever. But we've kind of just talked about, so we talked amongst ourselves, we might have said it a little bit on cast, but
we've kind of said, like, we're kind of keeping the races within, like, the Boomtowns to your general humanoid races, right? So, like, your original D&D, right? Like, human, halfling, dwarf, maybe some elves, possibly, right? But not, like, just random rabbit people walking around or turtles or tieflings.
I was going to say a turtle.
Oh, right, no, right. Stick it to the Dragonborn again.
Yeah,
oh,
and but, you know, Dragonborn don't even exist in this universe. No, but no. So my thought is, so you generally have like the quote unquote human population in civilization, in the towns, right, and in the conglomerate. So what is out there in the wastes? Well, what's out there in the wastes are the Dragonborn, are the other elves, or maybe most of the elves, you know, maybe elves aren't really in the towns except, you know, maybe here or there where they're looked askance at or something, right? The orcs, the god, whatever. And the, what if those creatures, those races, those civilizations were the ones that, like, understand the tech and are doing it? So they're, in essence, bringing in the... They're the prophets. They are starting to teach this to fight back against the conglomerate that has, like, driven them out of their homes kind of thing. And it creates this resistance of, like, the other civilizations beyond just human that are out there, too.
I'd like to give people an opportunity to play if they wanted to play an orc or something. So I think they definitely, they could live, their societies would be out in the wastes or something like that. But some of them would have had to have come into town at some point to be able to, so that I could, right, like, and now I'm a...
Sure, sure,
so
sure.
They would be, right, you would have dragonborns or something in town. They would be looked, I think, to your point, probably askance at, right? They would be people that are, they're gypsies from out in the undiscovered wastes, right? So they're thought of that way. You know, so it would change the dynamic. But I mean, they could also be prophets by definition. They could have interacted with the AI, the tech out there that's sort of driving this, right? That's sort of acting as the overriding deity.
So another angle is also these corporations. You know, perhaps they don't like the magics they can't control. On the other hand, maybe they want to possess it. So that's really like they would hoard it the most.
Exactly.
You know, vehemently. They can go after this stuff and keep all the goodies for themselves. They're funding expeditions. Perhaps, you know, they're taking down people that are out in the wastelands to some extent that are, you know, claim jumping even almost.
And you know what I love about this, that I was fighting not to say it, is basically it means that you're creating an outlaw when you create a character in the Boomtown campaign setting. Is that you're going to be someone that the corporation doesn't want there, right? You're going to have powers and tech that they either want to acquire or you're going to have religion that they want to squash, right? By its very definition, it kind of creates that archetype that any character you create there, you're basically going to be an outlaw to some degree, whether you choose to hide it or other things you'd have to do with it. But I think that kind of really leans hard into the Wild West deal too. I think that it makes it cool. Like I was like, ooh, like I think I'm, if I make a character there, like I'm going to be like an outlaw. That's kind of neat. Cause I'm not an outlaw. Right. Like it's so that would be a cool fantasy to play. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the whole, that's the setup, right? The setup is that these gold rush towns, the boom towns exist because they were hastily constructed from the conglomerate, the corporations to get that tech. They set up these things, they put up some cheap housing, right, some saloons, and they hire mercenaries and prospectors and explorers to go out there, get our stuff, get it back on the trains, and get it back to the East Coast, right? Like, I'm thinking East Coast, like, all of, like, our East Coast, and then, like, you know, Arizona and Texas and all of that, right? So that's the whole setup. These boom towns are spots for them to prospect out and gain all of this tech. So the minute these boom towns start to, as they will, become its own thing, its own community, its own town, it starts interacting with the other citizenry in other boom towns or out in the wastes. That is exactly like Tony and Chris, you were both saying, that is a threat to the conglomerate because now they have to deal with all of these damn whatever, right? The Outer Rim kind of style, right?
Yeah, no. And the one thing I would add to it, I think that makes it important, is it they need, the boomtowns need to be remote enough that the corporations can't mess with you every day, right? Like, it has to be something where there's a train coming in and it has the religion police, or the, right, like the guys are coming in for the tech. There's a coach scheduled to come in, and that some people in the town are for it, some people are against it, whatever, and they have to scramble, right? But if having them be a constant presence wouldn't be as cool as if it's remote enough that it's difficult to get back and forth, so there'd have to be this, and it would create enough space where you could have the adventures within the town while still having the threat of them showing up at some time, right? You don't know when they're going to show up. They're just not there all the time, right? There's always the threat of there's another train coming in that has some of the corporation folks on it, and they're coming through to collect or to, you know, to root out any profits in town.
And as we build this campaign out, there's nothing saying a DM couldn't decide to start their campaign in the Eastern Seaboard, in the conglomerate, and deal with all that you really love city, right? You love city campaigns. You love political intrigue. Like, there you go, man. You're in it, right? It doesn't have to be out in the boomtown, right?
I absolutely agree with Chris's point. Like, I feel like if perhaps the corporation is sending out air quotes lawmen to come out here, and they heard that some tech was recovered, they didn't turn it in, and now they are outlaws. That potentially can be a problem. Like, perhaps you have a rating with them, how hard they're coming for you, so to speak. But, you know, that can't be all the time. That can't be like, oh, as bad as before. Like,
that would
be a really huge drag. But is it an understood truth of this world that if you recover tech or magic in the wasteland, that you're going to be an adversary of this corporation now?
There would probably be signs in town, both saying, you know, notice all items retrieved in the waste must be, tagged and loaded onto a freighter headed for the corporation, as well as signs saying, declaring that profits are illegal or stuff like that. And the dissemination of this is punishable by whatever that, but to your point, that it can't be there all the time, but there would be that constant presence where the expectation is that you're out there in the boomtown to collect stuff for the corporation. You're collecting a small, there's probably like a stipend, right? Why you would do it. But all that tech, they want it all flowing back to them. It's just some people are like the characters in our thing are the ones that are sort of, taking it and using it for themselves and discovering that it has all these magical powers, and that's why the corporation wants it, right?
Well, first, when Tony said the lawman, like, we got to name our Pinkerton guys, the Pinkerton detectives.
I changed religion police to religion lawman in my notes here. Yeah, that was great.
But yeah, absolutely. I love all of that. I'm thinking what you guys were not big fans of, but when Scott was running his Breska game in the World of the Five Gods, and in essence, like, when you bring stuff back, like, you're taxed on it. Now, it wouldn't be taxing on this, but it's a known thing that the only people that are supposed to be out there gathering tech are the prospectors, the explorers, the bona fide conglomerate employees, whatever, right? But with any town, with any gold rush, you're going to have black markets that set up. You're going to have underground stuff. You're going to have these things. You're going to have areas just outside of town where there's a cache of weaponry, right? Maybe you need to stay. Like, yeah, so like that all plays into it. And very much like I'm thinking back to Tombstone, like Tombstone, Arizona, like a lot of the Western towns, like you couldn't just carry firearms around town. Like, they were not allowed. Like, you could have them, but you couldn't just be strapped all day because they were trying to control it. So in a similar way, they would be controlling it, the local marshal or the whatever, and the boomtown bosses and stuff like that.
I'm saying, I think the remoteness of it, right, and the idea of the bosses is that the lawmen are there are lawmen there, but they're more concerned with the day-to-day running of the town. While there is that corporate thing, they end up so that it gives it that town where it's concealed. And then there's the guys, there's a thing coming in on the, you know, there's a coach coming in. You guys better, you know, get Skedaddle out of town or whatever like that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the conglomerate is sending in Judge Dredd. Yeah, yes. He's coming Thursday, so get all your shit out of town.
Drock.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, if these guys are going to all be outlaws, then we have to lean into this hard, where, you know, there is opportunities for these things, but it's not Mission Impossible. I think it reminds me of, like, those old Nintendo games where it's like you could be a thief, but you try to steal something in town. And you know what? The town guards are super formidable. Like, that's not what I want to hear. Like, that's no fun at all. These guards are so awesome that why is there any unrest in the wastelands? Why are there, like, all these horrible monsters out there? There's the guards out there that could waste their ass. So, and the corporation inevitably has to be at least a BBEG worthy. Like, there has to be elements in there where that could be a real battle. Maybe not necessarily, like, you know, like a battle of attrition with all these different people, but, like, there has to be some high-level, extraordinarily formidable NPCs in there.
Multiple.
That we can start plugging.
As your, as your boomtown is becoming more and more infamous, then they start sending better and better lawmen in, right? Like, you suddenly, you got, you know what I'm saying? You get, like, Wyatt Earp as, like, the BBEG who shows up before the corporation itself descends on your boomtown. But you could definitely have a ramping style with that where they can, you know, they're a shadowy thing. They could send groups of lawmen. They could things. And on top of that, I think to your other point is that there would be, like, the cattle porters or stealers or whatever like that. There would be the rustlers. Oh, go talk to the Baker brothers. Like, they deal in that tech over there, right? But they would be, like, they would be those criminal organizations on the edge of town where you'd have to deal with that, right? And then, so you'd still have the access to be able to go, I can go get something the equivalent of a, like, ring of protection or whatever like that, but I have to go deal with, I'd have to get it on the black market unless I go out and find it myself in the thing. Otherwise, you know, I'd have to give it to the corporation. So I'd have to go get it from the Baker brothers or the, you know, that's just a name I came up with. It's not a very good one either.
Two things on that. First, the idea that also, yeah, and the more, so you can acquire magic. Absolutely. This is awesome. We're not changing it at all. But all the time you use it, I'm thinking, like, when I'm gonna at some point run a Star Wars campaign, like, I'm gonna set it at a time where, yes, you can be a Jedi, but you are hunted, right? So the more that you are showing that you have all of this magic, all of this tech, you're gonna have a huge target that's pointed directly at you, right? But to the other point, Chris, I think that it's not a foregone conclusion that when you create a character for a game or a campaign in Boomtown, that it's immediately an outlaw. I think that you could easily be, you could run a game where you are the mercenaries and explorers and prospectors hired by the conglomerate. But then as you're out there, you know, either you just keep doing it and gaining your wealth because you're into that, or you know, quote unquote, go native, right? And you start to see, like, well, this is BS, like, this is bunk, you know, seeing maybe how the corporation is running things, whatever. But I don't think you immediately just, you're an outlaw. You just happen to be a resident in this boom town at level one, and now, yada yada, right? Yeah. You probably will become an outlaw. I mean, that's just,
I'm just saying, right? The very basis of it, that by the time you level up, you will have become an outlaw, because that will require you to have acquired tech that would make you an outlaw. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's the kind of thing that they want to squash, and it'd be the kind of area where people are dealing with, it'd be like diamond mines, right? Like, the amount of security, and people still want, they put diamonds in all kinds of orifices and all over the place to get them set out there, and they sell them on the black market instead of selling them on the
perfect thing.
And it would be that kind of a thing where there isn't a way to control that. This is the equivalent of, like, finding, like, bars of gold out in the desert that they're bringing back here. So people are naturally going to be stealing. Even regular people would have, like, a ring in their pocket. They just, oh, I didn't declare that one. Oops, right? Like, it wouldn't be something that would just be limited to people who were looking to ride the edge of society. Even your standard folks may have something. They may not talk about it. Maybe it's their father's piece or something like that. But there would be, you know, it's a part of the world that is super valuable. I may want to hold on to this for later, kind of stuff.
Well, it's got to be loose. I mean, that has the sort of the whole outlaw feel to it. And you know what? I'm gonna die on this hill. Like you commit a crime. I want to know in game who saw it and how are they reporting you. So you're not in a video game where I shot somebody and all of a sudden my bounty appears in the top left hand corner of my screen. Like there's gotta be witnesses.
That's fair.
Like I've killed people out in the desert. And it's like, oh, you're a wanted man. Like why? Cause like you know the satellite caught me. I mean.
No, I think it's cool because you can have your, like, you know, the basis of most of your adventures is going to be adventuring out into the wasteland, but you always, as a DM, have the lawmen in your pocket and those kind of things that I can always add them into any sort of situation there and spice something up, right? So there's what's happening in the town. And for a lot of those people, they're not thinking about the corporation. They're thinking about their day-to-day life. And then every once in a while, you can throw in something like the lawmen show up. So it's not all the time, right? And to your point, like someone has to see you or they have to be in town and somebody has to have told them something. Maybe somebody talked, right, or something like that. But it's I think it's a cool way to be able to have adventures and always have something in your pocket that you can use to kind of keep prodding when you need a little bit of something is, oh, the lawmen are showing up and stuff like that. It's a good tool.
All right, so this has been actually quite good. I think we have pretty much corralled how magic in all forms is probably going to work in the Boomtown world. So about time for some final thoughts. So divine magic, the idea of the tech thing, and then also like how these factions are kind of playing to each other. What are you guys' final thoughts?
I think the whole divine angle needs to have an established story, yet also be a mystery. Because, like, you know, all these things happen, that's how it's believed and understood, but is it really, and are there more layers to it? And I think that could be something really, it's a nice low-hanging fruit for the players to discover throughout the campaign, and you could sprinkle in lore and you know, clues to take that in the direction that you want to. In the terms for us on the back end, I think we need to bake in reasoning why just at no given point the corporation doesn't just send the house into this boom town and send 20 guys in there, like, you know, at the end of Red Dead Redemption 1 when all the federal lawmen came for John Marston.
They got like 300 boom towns though. They can't, they're too, it's like the English Empire. You can't control it all, you know?
I just feel like that's got to be really like nicely established. You're an outlaw aspect needs to be fun and not a drag. Chris, you're right. Yeah, this can appear. It could be a hook. It could be a tool. It just can't be like the long arm of the law is like breathing down my neck because I picked up like a magic coin in the desert. And they're like, aha! Like, nobody wants that.
Now, I like what you're talking about, Tony. If there's a mystery with the religion, right? In of itself, the mystery of faith, right? And I'm learning all these things about these gods or what the prophets are telling me. And then there's that deeper mystery that what they're talking about is actually an AI supercomputer. It's algorithms or something like that. So there's always this, there's the mystery of you can learn more about the faith, but then there's this deeper mystery in there where you could learn more about what's actually behind it and what's driving it as you move through your adventure or whatever like that. And I think the one thing we did here that really helped with getting the religion going, and I think it's a good tip, is we leaned into the hook a little bit. Like we decided, you know what, tech is what's the driving force for what's the making things happen in this world. So let's lean into that more, right? Let's lean into that for religion, because why the hell not? It makes it easier, and it provides a good cohesion now, so that, you know, we don't even really need to add to the statement much, right? But the statement still sort of rings true, is that it's magic technology in this world where that's all a memory now, so this all seems magic is really a powerful thing to do. So it was, that was a good, I think once we started to lean into that, the idea started to flow, because we had it worked with the magic, it worked with what they're going out to prospect, it worked with what the corporation was after. I think it's a good circle that just kind of completed itself. So
absolutely. I'm just as I am each time, I'm kind of jazzed. I want to run something in this world. It just, there's just something about it. I do like that we did, Chris, you're right. We leaned into the hook, and we leaned into a hook that allows for what we were getting a little lost in when we started talking about magic, which was, well, are we just going to start deleting classes? Can you not be certain things? Are we going to just take away half a spell list? Or can you only go certain level? right? And what this now allows is you can be familiar with like 5e, for instance, and come right into this setting that's going to feel very new and very fresh and very different and unique, but it's still going to be able to be mechanically played similarly. You're flavoring it, though, and it does offer a lot of things for the lore because, yeah, the prophet comes and there's all the old gods and stuff, but it's really this AI supercomputer. But then it's also maybe not, and then it's right. And there's endless, like any good hook, there's endless ways that you could start to explore it. You know, it's like say the Force. They've turned that into, you know, an empire of stuff.
As long as we don't get to midichlorians, because that I still don't understand that.
The beauty, because somebody could still come and put something even behind that and behind that. But regardless, but yeah, I don't really have a lot of final thoughts because you guys covered a lot of those, and I said what I said in there. But I would like for you guys to reach out to us and let us know, join the conversation, get in on the polls. Get in on the voting that we throw out there, especially on Facebook and Instagram. But reach out to us, like I said at the top of the show. Go to threewisedms.com. You can reach us through there. You can reach us at threewisedms@gmail.com. And I will say, I like this idea of the lawmen, and like there's just like bigger and bigger lawmen that they're going to throw out. So a really cool way to do that, because you never get to use a D12, like for anything. The only thing you use that for is if you're a barbarian. The end. No one else uses it, right? So it's this lonely D12. So I would say make a list of really like Judge Dredd level lawmen, right? Like Mike Tyson's punch out level, right? It starts with Glass Joe and it goes all the way up to Soda Popinski. And, you know, for the D12, just make it Judge Dredd or something. And get that D12 from our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. Enter the code 3WISEDMS10. That's the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10. You get 10% off your order, which is pretty sweet. And that's going to be it for this week for us. This is really coming together, and we got some fun ideas for episodes coming up. So continue to tune in and continue to share it with your friends and continue to hit all the 5 stars on all your podcast platforms. That really helps us get the word out. And we appreciate you coming on this journey with us. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, 3 Wise Dms.